just finished an awesome series in Matthew 28 about rest and how God wants us to partner with him and link up and team up with him. And we can look back and say, okay, God, I want to put down the things that I've been doing in my own power. And I've been through some things now. I've been through some life. I see where there's some weights I've been trying to carry on my own. I'm going to put those down. I'm going to put the yoke that you have for me on so that I can be led where I have a life of fulfillment and ultimately a life that we find rest for our souls, as Jesus described. So now today, I'm going to dive into a different passage. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, and we'll get there in a second. You can flip your Bibles to Romans 12. But I believe this passage, this message is going to be challenging. I know it has been incredibly challenging for me. So I think this is going to be a challenging message. And I know that God has something to say to each of us as we're here this morning, as we come from different places, different things going on in our lives. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the word. So Lord, we just thank you for the ability to gather in the church this morning and to hear from you and to hear from your word. Lord, we pray that you would give us spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear what you have to say to us. Lord, help us to receive with meekness your engrafted word, as your word says. And Lord, I pray that you would give us practical application that we can take from today and grow closer to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Paul is writing here and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I think Paul is teaching us something in this passage that I can summarize by, I don't think I put this on a slide, maybe I did. You don't change your life by changing your life. You change your life by changing your mind. You don't change your life by changing your life. You change your life by changing your mind. In other words, where the mind goes, your life follows. If you look here in the passage, Paul gives us a clear action. He says, he tells us to do something. He says, offer your entire lives as living sacrifices. And then he gives us insight on how to do it. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And here is something that isn't taught in many churches that often that I believe Paul is really showing us here. Your transformation, my transformation, takes place in our minds. Your transformation takes place in your mind. If my mind doesn't change, then neither will my life. So the words that Paul are saying are obviously very important. But what is similarly important is who Paul is writing them to. As you read through the New Testament, there are 13 epistles. They're letters from Paul. And Paul is writing to who? To the church. In all his letters, he's writing to believers. He's writing to the church. And this is really, really interesting. He's writing to Christians, and he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's not writing to non-believers, and I'm gonna explain why I'm trying to emphasize this. He's writing to people who believe in Jesus as the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life, people who have already embraced Jesus for who he is. He's telling them, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because this is a slide. It is possible to have salvation and not transformation. It's possible to have salvation and not have transformation. If transformation automatically happened with salvation, Paul wouldn't need to say, be transformed. Paul is teaching us something here. There's a difference between salvation and sanctification. Salvation occurs in a moment. When you put your faith in Jesus as your savior and your leader of your life. And then sanctification is a process. Now, the word sanctification gets thrown around a lot in the church. But if you're new to church, you probably have never heard that word. We're not going to go into a deep theological discussion around sanctification, but I was brought up in a culture where the word was used very often, the church culture I grew up in. But I have it kind of defined here. This is how I would define it. It is the act of being made or becoming holy over time. Sanctification is the process or the act of being made or becoming holy. So now look at this. If you go back to the text, Paul tells us when the mind is renewed, then, Jeff, you can go ahead and go back to Romans 12. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what that tells us is that I cannot prove the will of God for my life until my mind is renewed. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Paul is placing a high priority on the mind. And notice what he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is a really big deal. I think in church, we are so used to addressing a behavior, but Paul doesn't do that. He confronts the pattern of the world. He confronts their patterns. Because Paul knows that some problems that we endure in our life are a result of patterns. And until our thinking patterns are changed, we will keep producing some of the same problems in our lives until we change that pattern. So if I keep having relational problems, maybe the problems aren't the relationship, but instead the problem is the pattern of how I think about relationships. That's just one example. If I'm having whatever problem I'm having, maybe there's a mindset problem that we're encountering. And if the pattern isn't changed, then the pattern will continue and the problems will continue. So if we don't get this, again, like I told you, this is a challenging sermon. I was challenged this week as I studied this. If we don't get this, we will live a life where we are constantly in need of relief. And it's because we're not experiencing renewal. And then we use church for relief. You know, if we only attend church when we need relief, when the pain of life becomes completely unbearable, when we can't take it any longer, then it can't be relieved or addressed by my own efforts, then I come to a place to get relief that I could be getting relief from if my mind was renewed. I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't offer us relief. We see this in the passage that we studied over the last 3 weeks, that Jesus offers us to take his yoke on ourselves. And to, you know, he says, my yoke is easy and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But there's a transformation that should occur after we come to Jesus. And I believe that's what Paul is teaching us. And I think this is an area that many of us have challenges because it's an area that many churches have failed us. Like I said, I grew up in a small church culture, attended a large church, worked at a larger church for several years. And we may have been taught over the years, if you just pray enough, if you just live right enough or try hard enough, that alone will bring the transformation that will help you understand the will of God. And that's not what Paul is teaching us here. Paul is teaching us our life will follow what our mind is set on. And whatever our minds are on, that's the equivalent of picking a location on a GPS. Our life will follow what we think about. So Paul, in Romans 8, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. There's a couple passages there that I want to highlight. Paul says, this is verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. People live in a way that is consistent with what their minds are set on. So if my mind is set on things that are negative, cynical, hopeless, then my life is going to end up negative, cynical, hopeless. And this is the whole concept that Paul is explaining here that can explain the gap between what we experience in life and what we could potentially experience through transformation, through the renewal of our mind. I have another passage that I'm going to throw at you. I've got a few. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then the prophet Isaiah put it this way. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Sometimes our peace is gone because our mind didn't stay. Our mind didn't stay on Christ. And sometimes we lose our peace in life because of this. He didn't say, I'll keep in perfect peace whose mind visits him, but who stays or stayed on you. God wants to renew our minds. And we all have patterns of thinking that need to be adjusted. Because some of our problems are reflections of the patterns of thinking that we have. And our patterns become habits. And then these habits become hardwired into the circuitry, if you will, of our brain. This has been something I've been learning a little bit more about. There's a concept, maybe you've heard of it, called neuroplasticity. Anybody? Yeah, so Carla knows. This idea is that over the years, as we make the same decision over and over, our thinking pattern is repeated, and it creates somewhat of like a circuit or a path in our brain. That it's like, you know, if you have a big grassy area and you just continue to make a path, you just walk in the same area, that path gets beat down over time and well-worn, and then it becomes familiar. You know, everything is cleared out of the way for you to take that path. And it becomes, you know, our brain creates these patterns out of habits that we have. It becomes like path of least resistance. There's a person that, if you want to learn more about this concept, there's a really great, there's a lot of resources out there by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She has a lot on the idea, the concept of neuroplasticity in our minds. So you can kind of think about it this way. Have you ever been in a car with someone who just is learning to drive? Okay? And they're thinking about driving. They're locked in. Like, they've never driven before, or they're learning to drive. They've got their hands at 2 and 10. They're thinking about the defensive driving things they've been taught. They use turn signals when they don't even need to, all the things. And then, you know, over time, now if you've driven for years, it becomes routine. You know, now I remember when I used to work in Cincinnati, I would be on the interstate and I could see people doing their makeup, drinking coffee, FaceTiming somebody. And driving became just part of the subconscious mind. And I remember there was, when Miranda was finishing, well, she had finished her master's and needed to take her boards. And I was on the phone with her. We were just engaged. And it was the year of our wedding, I think. And she's driving, we're talking. We've been talking for like an hour and a half or something. Like, you know, when you're engaged, you talk that long. So, you know, so we've been talking for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then all of a sudden Miranda's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be." She'd been driving, talking to me. She went to Findlay for her undergrad. Her board exam was in Columbus, where her dad lived, and she was supposed to just be going to Columbus, staying at her dad's to take the boards the next morning. But instead, she got on 75 and just kept going north. And then she, you know, everything worked out. And but maybe you've done that before. Maybe you've been in the car and you're just not, like, you've had a long day and you're distracted. And then your mind, your subconscious mind, just makes you turn somewhere that you didn't intend to go. This is the same concept, is that over time, as we have habits and we think in certain patterns, then our mind just starts to take us places we didn't intend to go. So an undisciplined mind is a mind that's not functioning according to God's creative intent. God's intention for humanity when he created it was not for you and I to live in a victim-like state, to feel vulnerable and to feel like we're in this vulnerable state of existence constantly. This whole concept of having undisciplined thoughts creates an undisciplined mind and an undisciplined thought life, when our mind roams and continues to think about all kinds of things without a lot of intentionality, and then the habits and patterns are formed that ultimately become part of our subconscious mind. And that's why in our thoughts, like Miranda driving that day, we can go places we didn't intend to go, and this is what can happen in our lives. We can develop these negative thinking patterns for so long that it just becomes part of the subconscious mind, and we can end up thinking negatively about everything. And then we unintentionally think, we think with fear. We think about what the worst case scenario could be. So these patterns that we have, those are just to name a few. These patterns need to be addressed and adjusted. And Paul is showing us this here. I've followed Craig Rochelle for years. He's a pastor at Life Church. And he says, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thought, let me ask this reflection question. Are you excited about where your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited about where your thoughts are taking you? It's a challenging question. And then Paul shows us there are really two types of minds. Let's go back to Romans 8. We'll go to verse 6. Next verse there, I think. That's 5. All good. I have it right here. Okay. I must have forgot to put it in there. Romans 8, 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Paul shows us there are really two types of minds. There's the mind governed by the flesh. There's the mind governed by the spirit. How many of you would say, I want my life to be led by the spirit, right? So here's what we know now, and here's what we've really uncovered and discovered this morning. The life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think. And what we think determines who we become. I'm going to say that again. The life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think, and what we think determines who we become. So what do? The first thing is we need to identify the biggest stronghold that's holding you back. And for every person, it might be something different. Is it negative thinking? Is it constant worry? Is it constantly thinking about worldly things or being in a state of constant discontent, looking at other people's things and their home and the things they have or the life that they live? Where does your mind go when it's on autopilot? How do you think? So we need to identify what the biggest stronghold is holding you back. And then to think a different way, we need to forge a new path. The more you walk a path, the easier it becomes to travel. You know, if we have a field that we're going to cut a path through, the more we walk it, the easier that becomes. And the more we stay off the old paths, those paths can weaken. And it can become harder for those paths to be a natural state for us. Because if we stay off of those old paths, those paths can weaken. So we need to identify that. And then we need to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. I have one last passage, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says, this is verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. We can begin with this awareness as we look at this passage and we see, wow, okay, Paul makes a heavy emphasis on our mind and how we think. We can begin to have this awareness, okay, I'm going to pay more attention. I'm going to nearly kind of audit my thoughts. I'm going to understand that I have the capability. God gives me the capability that I can capture that thought and understand, okay, nope, I'm not doing that today. I'm not thinking that way today. We take it captive and we make it obedient to Christ. That's what scripture lays out for us. That's what Paul teaches us. And we don't need to stay locked in a prison in our mind when Jesus holds the keys to set us free. When we begin to really understand that Jesus, He is our Savior. He gave us an eternal life with Him and you know, after this life. But He came to give us life and to have life abundantly. And we can begin to see that we have the capability, we have the tools ourselves to think differently and to think more like Him. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for who You are as Savior, author, and finisher of our faith, Lord. We pray that You would help us to identify negative thinking patterns, bad thinking patterns in our life, and help us to capture them and to make every thought captive to you and obedient to you. Lord, we pray that you would give us insight as we go through our lives day to day, and that you draw us closer to you through our mind, Lord, that we think on you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.